Well, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for calling me into your wonderful call. Father, I know that one day I have to stand before you and give an account to everything that I've shared with your beautiful people. I have a peace, Lord, in my heart. And I have a comfort there that what I shared is life-giving. What I share is your love for man. Father, what I share will cause people to grow spiritually. What I share, may it set people free. And so, Lord, in that day when I stand before you, one thing that means a whole lot to me is that I pleased you in your love for mankind. Anoint everybody here this morning to receive what I have to share. And may they be blessed by it. And may clear understanding be obtained through it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Boy, the Lord is good, isn't he? You know, we serve a loving, good God. We serve a God that is the very fruit of what we are to develop within ourselves. He's long-suffering with us. He can endure with us. Amen? He's gentle. He's kind. Amen? He's peaceable. Praise God. I love that statement when Jesus stood up and said, "Take upon me my yoke, for my burden is light. I'm meek and lowly of spirit. You can learn of me." Isn't that tremendous? Boy, I love that thought. Love it so much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I guess after last Sunday morning's message, I got pretty well bombarded by some statements that I made that I've been praying about it. I didn't think too much of it at first. I thought I'd leave it alone. Until finally, if I have as many people come up to me about the same thing, then it warrants for me to bring clarification about what I shared last Sunday. And I'm going to do the best that I can for you this morning. I talked it over with John to see what he thought about it. And he's like a spiritual father to me. And he says, "Yeah, go ahead. I think you should if that's the case." I made the statement that everyone is capable of homosexual tendencies. Some people said, "Did I hear you right? Are we all born with the ability to be a homosexual?" They wanted clarification on that. So if you will open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 1, I'm going to clarify that. Okay? And I hope that I can bring it out clear enough for you today to validate where I was coming from. And so I'm going to make some bold statements right now. We always hear the statement that you cannot categorize sin. You know, sin is what it is. Amen? Is that true? It is? Well, you know, I don't know about you, but when I open my Bible and begin to read about sin, it all has one effect. It's called death. Sin will bring death. But you know what? You have to understand the different aspects of sin and the effects, the different effects that sin brings. Do you know that the Bible clarifies in some sin, it can take you to a worser, degenerate place than other sins can. And so I'm of the opinion that yes, you shouldn't categorize sin, but you should be aware that some sin has a greater effect than other sin. How many of you understand what I mean by that? Amen. And so you have to be careful. Yeah, it's true we're not to categorize sin. That's true. But we can say that sin, some sin, has a greater effect than others sin. It really does. Some sin can do quicker and more damage than others sin. Now, I want to say something about the issue of homosexuality. I had a situation come up where I was challenged by my last message, and I don't know whether it was somebody from the congregation here or some other place, but I felt it was necessary to go over as clearly as I can, again, very lightly, not going into much depth, where I was coming from last Sunday, in hopes to give you an understanding of where I was coming from, and then explain out that statement that I made. Number one, if you will look at verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. Everybody there? I want everybody there because I want us to read together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, notice this, of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Well, we're going to look at this from the Greek a moment. The word suppress literally means to hold something down that is called truth. To hold something down that is called truth. Notice this, in unrighteousness. So what this verse is saying is that, very clearly saying, is that when people have the wrath of God revealed to them against ungodliness and unrighteousness, there are people that will take, knowing the wrath of God, will take truth and hold it down in unrighteousness. That's what these verses are saying. Now, where is he going with this? He's going to mention a type of sin that takes this road or this direction. So the next verse says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. And I'm going to read this out of the Greek, and it becomes more clear. He says, because of what? Men who will take truth and hold it down or suppress it in its act of unrighteousness. They know that God will bring judgment to unrighteousness, but yet you'll find people that will take truth and suppress it through their unrighteousness. They will suppress it. How many of you are following what I'm saying? I hope I make this very clear to everybody. And why am I going over this and want it clarified? Because the dangers of us buying into specific sin that not only corrupts a person or an individual, but it corrupts the mind of others concerning our invisible heavenly Father, and it can damage the minds of people. Now, notice what he says. Because what may be known of God is manifest. It is the word evident. Because what may be known of God is evident in them. For God has manifested it to them. Now, verse 20, I'm not even going to read it out of the translators. I'm going to read it out of the Greek because it's more easy to understand this verse. For the invisible things of Him are clearly seen from the creation of this world, being understood by the things made. Oh, let's read that again. Now notice what he says, because what may be known of God is evident in them. For God has manifested it to them. For the invisible things of Him are clearly seen from the creation of the world, being understood by the things made, both the everlasting power and the divinity and divinity so that they are without apology. So that they are without apology. What? These men who will take truth and hold it down and suppress it to hang on to unrighteousness that God has clearly defined Himself in the things that have been created and made. And then he goes on to say, verse 21, because... Now, this is what really gives me an understanding about how horrible this sin is. Because knowing God, and the word for knowing God here is the word epinosis. It means having a higher understanding of Him. Now, you've got to remember when Paul was writing this book, he was telling us, giving us clarity as to a sin of unrighteousness that began at creation. At the fall of Adam and Eve, that sin carried itself from that time period. And down to the course of the history of the Old Testament, what do we find? We find this particular sin judged time and time again. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it got so bad in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't tell me that your mind does not grow worse and worse and more reprobate the more you give in to this kind of sin. David and Bathsheba. David had a sexual problem. And he took it out on discovering Bathsheba. And they made a decision, him and Bathsheba made a decision to instruct Solomon not to give in to this type of sin. And they said, when you give in to this type of sexual depravity, he says, and both of them taught this, they said, what it'll do is it'll get into your mind and eat away as wormwood so that when you're hooked by it, you cannot escape from it. That's pretty serious. And on all that teaching, don't tell me we don't have a right to choose. Out of all that teaching, four chapters about how they instructed him, he turned and he sought after every sexual thing under the sun after that. He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Yeah, okay, vice versa. Thank you, John. Oh, great theologian. When it comes to the Old Testament, me, we just... Anyway. So he understood. And in the end, he said, the men who preach righteousness, they're right. Now notice what it says. Because knowing God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile, notice this, in their thoughts. And I'm going to put it this way. They became futile, means to cancel out in their reasoning, well, who would that be? God. They have to cancel Him out in their reasoning. Why? Because if you can look at a male and look at a female and tell them both how different they are, I mean, that's obvious that the only way you can get the men with men and women with women is there's got to be some kind of reasoning that becomes perverted in their thinking in order for them to say men can hook up with men and women can hook up with women. There's got to be something wrong with that thinking. And you and I as a church were responsible to help mankind to know this. To know what the Bible says about it. So you can rescue them, not judge them and condemn them. I had a young man still very much connected with our church tell me that it was my love towards him that finally put him in a place where he would resist this kind of act that he had been involved in. And to this very day, he is being successful because he has resistance now. You see. And he said what really helped deliver him is my understanding of the body of flesh. And that comes to the question, do all of us have the potential of this type of sin? And where I was coming from is, you and I have the potential for any sin outside of the Word of God and salvation. Because the carnal mind and your physical body are in rebellion to the kingdom of God. It is not subject to it. So when you come into Christianity, you might not know this at first, but you opted to change your lifestyle. You've opted to change the lifestyle you once lived to a new lifestyle. Not only that, but you have taken yourself from the citizenship of this world and you've translated yourself into the citizenship of the kingdom of the Most High God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that system operates different than the system of this world. Glory to God. And the hope of my salvation has been the fact that God has separated my inner man from my outer man so I could grow up on the inside and dominate my outside. Glory to God. And not let it dominate me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so what he's saying here is that literally in their reasoning, it has become so foolish that their hearts were darkened. What does that mean, their hearts were darkened? Well, I'm writing some books, and I'm doing one, How to Establish the Heart. Hallelujah. And the heart, whenever the word heart is mentioned, that's the sum total of a person in his spirit and soul and body. It's made up of all three areas, so that they work in conjunction with each other. Now let me ask you this. If there is not a kingdom residing on the inside of your spirit and soul, then how are you going to be free from the body of flesh and the carnal mind? How are you going to free yourself? How are you going to set yourself free from that? Begin to reason God out of your reasonings? So that you can give yourself over to the very thing that He provided on the cross so you would no longer be dominated by it. Call, He put your body in the position of death by offering His body on your behalf. So what did He put on the cross? He put on the cross the nature of sin that operates through the human body. And began to declare it dead. And He would no longer judge mankind. Hallelujah. According to the sin of the body, He would judge them now according to the transformation of their inner man. And every man has a right and a destiny to the eternal outcome of their life. And Satan wants to snatch that from humanity. And He uses ministers that are enemies of the cross to be able to accomplish that by turning God into a judge against them. And God is not against the world. He settled His issue with the world through Jesus Christ. Boy, I can't shout it enough. How God loves us and loves mankind, loves the sinner. But God hates sin. And the only way it can be judged is to get somebody converted and bring him into the church and free him up from it. How do you think men give their heart to the Lord? It was very simple. He took the thing that God had to judge them with because they were in the ignorance of what they were doing. He had to take that place so they would have the opportunity and the power to receive Him. Do you know that a rank sinner has more authority than the kingdom of darkness? I said authority. Exousia. Why? Because Jesus in His redemptive work gave the sinner the right to receive his eternal destiny through the Son. And every single demon in hell can't stop a sinner who has purpose to turn his life to God. The devil's not powerful enough. Do I know what I'm talking about? I experienced it. And am experiencing it. Now notice what he says. Their foolish heart was darkened. What does that mean? The undeserving heart of them became darkened by what? By being alienated from God. Their inner man became alienated from God. You see, from the beginning of creation, people, church has taught we've got to get men into the kingdom. Well, that is true. We got to bring people into the kingdom of God. But I'm going to tell you something. What causes us to have the office of bringing people into the kingdom of God is because we've got a whole lot of people that have come out of the kingdom of God. See, God, from the beginning of time, His person covered the earth. And He reached as far as He could reach to get mankind to turn. And He had to bring judgment. Because men were going out of God down to the point that only one was left to serve Him. Tell me that ain't a God of love. It would go to the length and the breadth and the depths to save mankind. And yet mankind became one with the body of flesh. Genesis chapter 6. It said God came down and found that mankind, and it grieved God in His heart that He even created man for the outcome of this. And He saw that man now had become one with his body, and so his spirit could no longer strive with man. And He had to bring the judgment. But in the judgment, praise God, in their death, from the preaching of Noah's righteous message, in their death they received Him, because we find that when Jesus went into the regions of the damned, He made proclamation why they were saved. Because they received the message of Noah when they and their family were drowning. In their death, God took them spiritually. Don't tell me there's not life after death. You don't die like an animal. You don't die just non-existent. When you die, the real you is found complete. And you go one place or the other. You have. Mankind has an eternal destiny. And Satan doesn't want man to find it. And so Satan plays on the ignorance of mankind because mankind doesn't understand how he's made up. He doesn't see that the real man is spirit and soul, and he's housed in a body. Dean, when he gave confirmation to what we were preaching, I was just amazed. Dean came into my life. What a blessing in my life, Dean, for that experience. And I capitalize on every ounce of his words. And when he said that when he stood there complete and told of his experience, he said when he went back into his body, in that hospital, he went back into, and he said, this voice said, don't ever do that to me again. Where did that voice come from? It was the voice of the body of flesh. It can only die. But when you do die, it hates you for it because it has no more life. That's what I had learned. Now, I've seen it before. But Dean clarified it. Paul even said, when I was there, I couldn't tell whether I was in body or out of body. Because when you step out of your body, you can't tell the difference. I had an experience where I felt like I was in an elevator and I stepped out of my body and I was up to my waist and I noticed the top of my head how bald I was getting. But I was very much alive. I had feelings. I had caught. It was no different than death, than being in the body. Then all of a sudden I felt this sucking back down. And I looked at the people and I said, did I change? And I was still preaching. Don't ask me how I did that.
But everybody in the congregation said, it sounded like your voice went into a tunnel. Don't tell me there's not life after death. And I'm going to tell you something. The only thing that will send a person to hell is to reject the redemptive work that Christ has already provided for them. So what will judge man in the end, the great white throne? It says they will be judged as a result of their works. For their works define their rejection of Christ. It doesn't say sin, it says works. Well, if their sin sent them to hell, then Jesus didn't really do the job he needed to do on the cross. So where does this sin come from? The sin is called harmatia. It means a nature of death that the carnal mind, the soul, has provided for the body. And that nature of death got into the physical body of mankind. And as a result of that, their inner being, spirit and soul, became one with the body of flesh, and they couldn't tell the difference. And to this day, people, you don't know the difference between your spirit and soul and your body, but you will know it once you step out of it. Once you step out of the physical body, you will get a clear picture about the story of the rich man and Lazarus. That story will come alive in you. Matter of fact, one of my study books I thought was very interesting. He's supposed to be a real authoritative position. He was talking about the rich man and Lazarus. You know what he said? He said, this story is very confusing because we don't know what body they had. It's because when you look at your physical body, that's not how you're going to look when you step out of it for eternity. Isn't that good news? Woo! Every once in a while, my spiritual hair gets in my eyes. I have to pull out my spiritual comb. Because when I had hair, I used to have a big bun in front. It was cool, man. And so, as we read on here in Romans chapter 1, therefore God gave them up. Now, listen to this. God gave them up to uncleanness. And this is where the word uncleanness means what they wanted in their thinking. They wanted to think this way. Well, how could he do that? Because they wanted to change. Notice this in verse 23. They wanted to change the glory of the incorruptible God into the image-like light unto corruptible man. What image was that? Male and female. The women wanted to burn after the women, and the men wanted to burn after the men. Why? He explains it. So they wanted to remove their reasoning for God so that they could worship the physical creation that they were. And that's what homosexuality does. It is an idol of worship of the physical body in sexual acts. It is not love. It's love in the mind of those who perform it, but it's not the love that God intended for man to walk in. Now watch this. This is how bad this sin gets. I want you to get this in your understanding so you can help others. You don't need to go into this debt, but at least give them heads up how serious it is. Because what does it do? It rots the mind. That's what it does. Because notice what it says. It says, therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart, to dishonor their body among themselves. Now, somebody told me that the Bible does not really declare clearly this issue. I don't know what Bible they're reading. Look at this. Who, verse 20, who exchanged? What do you mean exchange? Well, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And that's what they're doing, who is blessed forever. Amen. So they're exchanging God for their own physical appetite. That's what they're doing. Then he goes on to say, and worshiped and served their own creature rather than the Creator who has blessed them. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their desire for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And that is why the issue of homosexuality is such a driving force in these type of people, because they want to be accepted and recognized as being okay with this thing. It is an extreme moral decaying issue of the mind of mankind. And yet it really irritates me how our government will sit there and go to great lengths to even use the media to take the freedom that people have smoking cigarettes and confine them to an area, and they're hoping one day to take the cigarette out of their mouth so that they would live longer in physical life. Are you following me? And yet come against that sin and yet promote the sin of homosexuality. That is craziness. Extreme craziness. Now let me ask you another thing to show you that all sin has to be recognized as the damaging effect of each one. Let me ask you something. What if you served God your whole life and couldn't get free from cigarettes? First of all, the only thing I find in the Bible about smoking is Rachel lit off her camel. That's the extent of it. But do you know that I have enough reasoning in me to realize that if I kept sucking cigarettes, that eventually it destroys the physical body? How many of you know that? There are sins that God will go to the grave with you. But if it is a sin that does not deprive your mind and your eternal destiny, does anybody here have the boldness to say that no smoker is in heaven? I can tell you right now, there's no one smoking in heaven. But are there people that had smoked here in heaven? I guarantee you there is. But let me ask you something. When we understand the devastation and the destruction of this sin, it's different than what destroys the body. This sin destroys the mind. It reaches to a man's eternal destiny. Well, why? Because they choose to worship the physical being rather than the incorruptible God. That is homosexuality taking you to eternal death. Or otherwise. Then I read you what that pastor had said, and he called it a win for truth in religious freedom. I wish I had a chance to talk to him, because here's what my Bible tells me. It says, because of the undeserving, untrustworthiness, and unloving, and unforgiving, and unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such thing are worthy of death, and that's thanatos, spiritual separation from God. Now notice this. Now are you ready for this? Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Meaning that if you're a minister of the gospel and you approve of this act, you also will stand in judgment for promoting it. I want you to think about this.
Well, that's just how you interpret Scripture. People, I'm going to tell you how I interpret Scripture. I interpret by His name called Holy Ghost. Because man can interpret Scripture any way they want. But you cannot interpret these verses any different. I'm sorry. If you want to, then you're doing the same thing that they've done. You're taking a hold of a truth and you're holding down it and suppressing it because you want to operate in your unrighteousness. Somebody said, well, what did you mean by all of us are capable of being a homosexual? Homosexuality, where it comes from, is a body of death. It comes from the physical being. It doesn't mean we have genes of homosexuality. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we have the nature of death that has seated itself in our physical body. Are you following me? It don't go away when you get born again. But what the beautiful thing is, that when you get born again, how many of you know He's not talking about your body? I wish it was. Then Sue wouldn't have to look at them pictures of what I used to be on the wall. She'd look at them and say, hubba, bubba. Nowadays, she doesn't say hubba, bubba. She says bubba. I don't mean to tear myself down, Sue. But if you will, go back a little further in Romans. Go to Romans chapter 5. I'm running out of time, but I want to clarify my statement. In chapter 5, it said death came through Adam, but life came through Christ. Now, the reason he made that statement was because when Adam and Eve fell, and I like what John G. Lake said, they fell into the body of flesh. They gave themselves up in their spiritual connection with God for a physical connection with themselves. And as a result of that, you know the story, then they were ostracized from God, but God provided a way where they could come back, and that way was for all of mankind. Now, we don't know how old the world is. We don't know how long it's been here. But we know that in dateless past, before Adam and Eve, we knew something had happened. Something taken place because Lucifer had become an outlaw. And so he tried to move in on the second creation through Adam and Eve. They gave into it. And he started his work again. Even to the point of getting down to one man. Wow. And why did I even bring this up? Because back in Genesis, in verse 7 of chapter 3... it says Adam and Eve's eyes were opened and they both knew they were naked. So evidently, they were seeing something that would not permit them to recognize that they were not clothed. So what caused the recognition of being unclothed? It was that their sensual mind, the carnal mind that resides within your soul, the carnal mind of them had no knowledge in it. It only functioned according to the means it was supposed to. And that was to reveal through the senses, touch, feel, taste, smell of this physical world. But what Satan did is he got them to take the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And in that knowledge, it entered their mind. And that's where the scales were removed from what they were seeing. Because now they were seeing through the knowledge that Satan had imparted to them in their physical mind. What knowledge was this? The knowledge that God gave them. And Satan turned that knowledge that God gave them into a lie, to question whether God's, what He said to them, was true or not.
And that's how your carnal mind functions to this day in every one of us. When God's word is mentioned, your carnal mind immediately has a voice to counteract it. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, it confuses people when you talk about one soul. Your one soul is made up of your spiritual mind and your carnal mind. The carnal side to your mind will once you resurrect it out of the body, that carnal side to your soul dies because it changes its environment. Not that it just goes away, but it changes its environment. Once it enters into the spiritual realm, it can't function the same way it did in the natural realm. Things changed. You guys following me? So what God did in the plan of salvation, He planned it where He was going to separate your inner man from your outer man so you could develop your inner man to dominate your outer man. Because your outer man has a nature of death that you inherited through Adam. And there's where Romans chapter 5 comes in. All of us have been given over to the nature of death, sin. It entered our bodies. It entered our carnal mind. It has taken root in us and it's there. But what the beautiful thing about it is when it comes down to Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 says that if you are baptized into His death, what was His death? His death was on the cross. He gave His body in place of our body to declare the physical body dead. Reckon it dead so that sin can no longer be a weapon used against you. That is all of Romans chapter 6. Don't give your members back over to unrighteousness, but give them over to your born again spirit to control your body and your carnal mind. Woo! I love my salvation. It has given me an answer for my freedom. Oh, glory to God. Woo! We're free! We're free! Boy, I wish I was a little thinner. I'd jump more. Come join the party. Glory. Glory. So He tells me in Romans 6, hey, don't give your members over to sin. It'll be a weapon used against you. But you know what else He says in Romans chapter 6? Very interesting. When you obeyed from the heart, that form of doctrine. And I found the form of doctrine in Scripture that delivered you from your body and your carnal mind. There is a doctrine. I wish I had time to teach it to you, but I ran out of time and energy. That has so declared me free now. That's why He said, when you were free to, in regards to righteousness, what fruit you did bring forth brought forth death. When you were free from righteousness, you brought forth sin, fruit of death. When you were free from righteousness. But now that you're no longer free from righteousness, but you become a slave to righteousness. Oh boy, now the body of death and the carnal mind no longer has a right to control you. Therefore, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That word for new creature in Christ is the same meaning that you'll find even in your Strong's Concordance. You are found to be back in the original position that you belonged before the fall. Ooh! Oh! Oh! Woo! Oh, glory. 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 Look at verse 7. Verse 7. Verses 1 through 3, it talks about a marriage honorable before God. And that marriage is bound together by law. It's bound together by law. But he said, if one party of that marriage dies, the other party is free. I'm no longer bound by that marital contract if my mate should die. Then I'm free to marry whoever I will. And you know what our translators connected that to? Right away, we are free to marry Jesus. And that's not what the next verse says. I want you to see this. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead. In the Greek it says you were put to death to the law through the body of Christ. That you might belong to a different you, to the one who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. What is he saying? Just like one party dies in a marriage. Chapter 7, verse 4. Chapter 7, verse 4. Oh, that was a sneaky... You got it up there? You will have it. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. That is an incorrect translation. In the Greek, it's worded differently. Matter of fact, some verses, some scripture, if you don't understand the Greek language, you will find that your Greek teachers, translators, will translate them according to their own knowledge rather than leaving intact as it's really saying. And here's what this verse really says. Take that off the screen. Take that off. Listen to me. This is how this verse is read in the Greek. Therefore, my brethren, you also, me also what? We have become dead. No, we're put to death to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to a different you who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. What is this verse saying then in the Greek? What he's saying is that you and I were put to death. What part of us was put to death? What part of me? That's what I cried out to God for years. What part of me died? And God said, through the body of Christ. And the part of me that died was Jesus, who took my place physically on the cross to die for me so that I would receive a position that he declared my body to be dead, no longer in control of me. I am now in control of it. Why? Because the one that was raised from the dead to belong to a different me was my inner man. I was raised in my spirit from the dead. Why? So I can control my outer man and bear fruit to God. Boy, I wish I could shout this until all of you went, I got it. I know what you're all doing. He looks ridiculous. They told David that when he danced to where he exposed himself. No, I ain't. Praise God. That's why I can bear fruit to God. Why? Because my inner man is no longer controlled by my outer man. Why? Because my outer man was declared, positioned in death on the cross. You guys running with me? Woo! Keep running with me! It's about time to go home. You're not saved. Oh, I love this. Look at the next verse. For when we were in the flesh, the passionate desires of sin through the law, operated in the members of us. Aren't you glad it said members? It meant physical body. Can you see now why in Romans chapter 1 he said they gave themselves over to the passionate lusts of the body of flesh to suppress truth of God so they can continue in their unrighteousness? I'm going to share something in closing. I am going to close. I talk, and in a conference I asked, what did the cross represent? And I didn't say to you. I said, what did the cross represent? I said, don't you guys know that the cross represents the positioning that God had placed mankind's physical body in death so you could get born again and be resurrected from the grave? You see, we're so busy in our doctrines today to do a great justice for our outer man. If you want success in life, wear the best. You want success in life, drive the best. If you want success in life, live in the best. What about those who receive Jesus and can't relate to that? Are you following me? What happens if you live in a nation that knows only poverty and you receive Jesus? Now you've got to go to a doctrine that will clothe your outer man? I think not. It is a doctrine that transforms a human being into Christ's likeness to begin to live that new life again and no longer serve your life out of the body of flesh, but serve your life out of your spirit. Because that's what Paul said, for I serve the Lord in my spirit and I give my body nothing. Now we know that it's up to Christ to take care of the outer man, not us. And that's why Matthew 6 is so strong. And don't take thought of what you need. He wants to take care of you. He wants to clothe you with the best while you're here. But your focus should be what you are to become for there. People, whatever you do, do not side with this sin. For it decays minds. And my Bible tells me that even if you approve of this lifestyle, you're in danger of the same judgment that they will. Because you'll promote it. You can't. As nice as I can be, I can't promote that sin. I can love the gay community in the person that they are, but I have nothing to do with that sin. And again, our government, our state, has no right to legislate our morals as society at the statement that everyone has a right to their freedom of speech. Listen, people, everyone has a right to their freedom of speech, providing everyone is included in it. But why would you sacrifice this view for all of this much to have to accept that? You cannot legislate morality. If that's the case, then get off people's back for their smoking. Did I make sense to you guys today? Did I finalize what I meant, that all of us have the capacity? Listen. Your physical body and your carnal mind will go anywhere if it's not corralled by the Word of God. If the Word of God does not establish geographical boundaries in your thinking, you can go anywhere. And that's why you had to get born again. Because the Spirit of Christ in you will not permit you to continue on in sin. It will stop you from that. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people this morning. And I thank you for the need that they
they have for their life. And Father, I thank you for the knowledge that you have given us through the Word of God to know how to answer people by reason of questions that they might have. Father, I indict my whole church to be responsible to help people out of this sin. Not to judge the person, but to judge the sin in their life so that they'll come out of it in Jesus' name. And that can happen. You can come out of it. Hallelujah.
Like one brother said to me, he said, well, I began to think that I was born this way. And I said, yeah, you were. And he says, well, I was. And I says, you weren't born a homosexual, but you were born with a body that has a potential to turn that direction if you feed it. And that's where I was coming from. Your physical body and your carnal mind will go wherever you let it. You got to control it. That's what I meant by that. Did I make myself clear on that? I did not say we were all born that way. You know what makes you different from Hitler?
Oh, I shouldn't have said it that way. Because some of you ladies go, yeah.
But what makes mankind as a whole different from Hitler? Hitler found a way in his thinking to go beyond evil. And he never had God in his life. So that tells you how far a person can go. He can go as far as killing mass, hurting mass people into death. And then die on his own. I need to say that you can go for everything in life. But in the end, if you don't receive Jesus in salvation, you can flush your whole existence down the toilet. All right. Are you guys ready to get out of here? Those of you that would like to stay and pray, feel free to. But that said, Father, may the rest of them have a good time today. May they have a good lunch. And Father, may they send the devil running in Jesus' name. And Father, may they have a blessed day. Amen. You're dismissed.